obviously my dad is gone, so y'all got me. I may not be as good as my father, but I promise you I am quicker. So hopefully that counts for something. All right. I've practiced this a couple times now, and could stretch it to about 25 minutes. So I'm guessing now that I'm up here, it'll probably be more like 15. But the title of my message today is How You Living. How You Living. I don't want to start off with a question. Normally how I do my messages back then, it's a lot more talking back and forth, a lot more answering questions and stuff. So the question I want to ask you guys is, if you were to ask the people you interact with daily, would you know I'm a Christian if I had never told you, right? What would they say? I think that's a super important thing. Because just me in my personal life, I am a very quiet person. I'm not one to talk to people. I'm not super outgoing. And that can kind of make you seem standoffish, right? And I believe that in my own personal life, I was not living the way I should be. I wasn't, you know, people were not seeing the love of Christ through me just because of my fear, I guess, or my shyness, whatever, quietness. And so I think it's important that when people see us, they see God, and our actions should reflect that. Okay. So, but if the answer to that question is yes, great job, right? Keep doing what you're doing. If it's not, let's get into it. Too often, like too many times, especially social media, things of that nature, I see people who aren't believers, their biggest gripe or their biggest complaint for not wanting to become Christian is other Christians, right? They see us, they see definitely the more human side, right? How we cannot be perfect, and that kind of turns them off of it, right? I've seen us called hypocritical, right? Judgmental, hateful, greedy, heartless, right? Things of that. And, you know, I was thinking, if I were to, you know, join a club or whatever, I had got into golf recently. If I were to join a country club and these were the characteristics of the people I was going to be involved with, I wouldn't want to join either. Right. I mean, that's doesn't sound fun to be around. Amen. But I think we just get kind of caught up in our own lives, right? We get caught up in our own little bubble, and we're oftentimes too scared, too afraid to step out of that. And in turn, that makes our lives just a lot more difficult, to be honest. Oh, sorry. It makes it a lot easier because we don't want them to be difficult. Okay. But we forget that above our comfort, above our own feelings and emotions, we are supposed to be walking testimonies for Jesus. Amen. And the biggest way we can see that, the biggest evidence for that is the fruit that we are producing, right? So producing fruit just means showing a visible outward proof of an inward relationship with God, right? So all Christians, all people really, are producing fruit. And it's up to you whether that's good or bad, right? So we really see this manifest in two different ways, two main ways, I would say. The first is more inward, is more for yourself, right? And that's the fruits of the Spirit, okay? And we got, I don't know when Madison and them did those rocks out there, but if you walking up, you can see them, right? That's all the rocks with the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, they did them? Those are awesome. Yeah, I like those. But so let's go to Galatians 5, 22 through 26. I'm going to read about these here. And now I'm reading out of the New King James. Give you a second to get there. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Okay. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I had to look that one up. I mean, slow temper, slow to get angry. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right, so it says right there, when we are walking in the Spirit, these are things that are going to be produced from that, right? And these are inward, they're really more characteristics that you will start to display when you are walking in the Spirit. And if you've been walking in the Spirit, you will know that it's very evident. You will feel the change, truly. I know just with me and my kids, there was a time where I was dealing with my youngest daughter, feeding her, and I have to use bottles because I'm not a woman, so I'm not super mobile when doing it. So I'm sitting on the couch feeding my youngest daughter, and it was way too quiet, right? When you got a 4 and 3 year old, quiet is bad, right? Unless they're sleeping, you don't want to hear that. And so I get up, go to their rooms, and both of them were standing on my son's toy box and coloring on the wall. And I remember, like, I wasn't upset. Normally I would be, right? Because they're messing up the house, doing stuff. I mean, I'm going to have to fix that. I'm going to paint over that, whatever. But I remember just being so thankful that I had good, healthy kids that were having fun. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you'll start to see things differently. Man, somebody cuts you off in traffic, you're like, man, that person got to get somewhere. Like, I hope everything's all right. Right. Normally it's like showing them some sign language. But when you're walking in the Spirit, man, these characteristics will start to manifest, and you'll feel the change. You'll see the change. And it is it's wonderful. All right. So we got fruits of the Spirit, which are more inward. The second way we see the fruits of Christians manifest is by our works. Okay. And these are different because only the Spirit can provide fruits of the Spirit, right? Where our works is our choices, our actions. Okay. And the good thing about the fruits is that they're indivisible, right? When you experience one, you experience all of them. Living your daily life under the guidance of the Spirit instead of living for your own selfish desires will cause that. Okay. So, right, the second way, like I said, was our works. When I was younger, I thought works was just miracles, and I was so nervous, right? Because I'm thinking, you know, you hear faith without works is dead, and all I can think of is, man, if God don't use me for some miracles, like, I'm in trouble, right? But thank God that's not what works is. Works is quite literally just the actions that you do that are proof of your relationship with God, right? The proof that you believe what you say. But the most important thing about our works is to understand that these do not save us. All right. Your works will never save you. There's not enough works you can do that will save you. Right. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's go to James 2:14-26. This is a long one. Bear with me here. And if you see me, I'm a pretty good reader. If you see me struggling to read, it's because I'm sweating and my glasses are fogging up. Don't worry about it. Just like my dad. Yep. Genetics are something, aren't they? All right, here we go. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Does also faith by itself, if not does have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that then a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works, the messengers, and sent them out another way? For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. All right, so James is saying you can have faith, right? But it's not faith only. If you are not producing good works, how can you prove that? Anybody can say you believe in something. Anybody can say anything, but what are your actions really saying, right? What are your actions proving? I can say I love my wife, but if I'm going out cheating, talking bad on her, abusing her, right? Do I really love her? Not really, right? Your actions and your works must back up your faith. So your works are just proof that you really believe what you say. Does anybody ever watch any like gang documentaries? Might just be me. I'm kind of weird, but this was more back in high school. I was fascinated with gangs, and I never understood how people could be so hateful for people born on like another block. You know, like it never made sense to me. So I used to watch stuff like that, and I learned that if you try to identify with a gang without actually being a member, right, you could get messed up from both sides. It didn't matter because they didn't like that. Whereas if you were actually part of the gang, you had to do something called initiation, right? To where you had to go out, do something to officially be a part. So you had to go and prove it, right? By your actions, by those works. It's kind of the same thing, right? Obviously not as violent, not as bad. But when we say we believe in Jesus Christ, our actions should reflect that every day, whether it's intentional or not. We should be constantly being transformed by the Holy Spirit, and the people should be able to see that change. You know, that means you can't live like everybody else. You can't act like everybody else. You can't talk like everybody else, because we're called to be better, called to be different. So your works, I think, can really be boiled down to like three main categories. Okay. And those three are honoring God, right? With your works, everything you do should be to glorify God rather than yourself. And I think God is pretty smart, pretty understanding. I think he knows that you can't be reading your Bible 24/7, right? I think he understands that. But you can still honor him in everything you do, right? By doing it to the best of your ability, right? By thanking him, all of those things. But like when I'm at home and I got my three kids and they're hungry, right? I can't be like, sorry, y'all, you got to give me a couple hours. I'm reading my Bible, right? Because that's not me being a good father. But God understands that you can still glorify him in other ways, right? Like doing things with a good attitude is a huge one. That's very much changed my view on work, right? Work is not fun. I have to wake up at 4 a.m. for my job. And instead of, you know, grumbling and complaining, I thank God that I have a job and I have the ability to work, to gain wealth, and to help people, to provide for my family. So just doing everyday tasks with a different mindset, the mindset of thank you for this, right? Thank you. I'm appreciative, and doing it to glorify him. Okay, so honoring God, right? Daily obedience, right? It's also another thing. Second main thing I would say is loving others, right? And this is what people mainly think about with works, right? Is what are you doing for other people? And I believe that this is a very important one. Like it was saying in James, right? If somebody's naked and needs clothing, food, whatever, who are we to say, you know, be filled and go? Like, we're supposed to give them what we need, what they need, excuse me. So like feeding people, praying for people, clothing, right? Healing, praying for healing, right? Sheltering. These are all things that we can do, choices that we can make, works that, one, will help perfect our faith, but two, we're helping people see the love of Jesus. Amen. And the last thing I would say is bringing others to the kingdom, right? Going out, making disciples who will make disciples. Super important. I'm so thankful for Jesus' disciples back in the day, not prioritizing their own relationship with Jesus Christ over spreading the gospel, right? Because otherwise, not many of us would be in this position here we are today without them, you know, being faithful to what God, Jesus had asked them to do. Okay. Another thing with helping people, right? I looked this up just this morning. If you make 34 to 60,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of wealth in the world. All right. That is amazing. Right. In the world. So we are, I say pretty much everybody in here is one percenters, right? In America, it's way different, right? Whole another ball game, but we are so blessed and so fortunate to be where we are. And right, we have been called and asked to help others. And that doesn't always mean with wealth, right? Like I said, you can pray for people, you can heal, right? You can just talk to them, be a friend. These are all things you can do. And if you are too afraid to do that, invite them to church. Let somebody else handle it, right? But I mean, that's the least we could do, is try to get them to understand it and to know what Jesus did for them, right? Because that's the most important thing. Oh, getting to the end of my notes here. You probably got about 5 more minutes. All right. Let's go to John 15:1-8. Told y'all it'd be a quick one. All right. John 15:1-8. When we talk about producing fruit, I like this verse here, in these verses. This is Jesus talking here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered them and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Sorry, so we are called to bear fruit, bear good fruit. And I don't know about y'all, but I do not want to be cast out and burned. That don't sound too much fun. But it says there, every branch that bears fruit, God prunes it. Right? Does anybody have fruit trees? You got some fruit trees? You prune them? Trim them up? You do? Right. I didn't understand why that is. Obviously, I've never had fruit trees before, so I looked it up. And here's what it said. I said, why do you trim fruit trees? They gave me like 4 or 5 answers. First one was to clear out diseased or damaged areas, to let in sunlight, to not waste food, and to keep branches from breaking. So all of these things, if you are the tree, right? You see a dude coming up with some hedge clippers or a chainsaw, you're like, this can't be good. Right? This is probably gonna hurt. But at the end of the day, it's only to help you produce more fruit. It's only to help you grow more. And we have to allow God to cut off those diseased areas, to cut off the areas that aren't getting sunlight, whatever it may be, in order for us to grow into who God has called us to be. Right? So ultimately, these things might be painful, right? The trials and tribulations we go through, but allow God to trim off all them dead areas. We need to make a conscious decision every day to walk in the Spirit, right? To put God's kingdom above our own personal feelings and emotions and experiences, right? Let your works be good to perfect your faith. Amen. Well, I'm at the end. So if y'all will stand with me. All right, let's pray and get out of here. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for everybody that came out, Lord, to learn about you, to grow with you. Lord, we thank you as we go about our every day. We put your kingdom first and we walk with you every decision we make. Lord, give us the courage to do what's right, Lord, and the wisdom to know what that is. We thank you for your protection over each and every one of us as we go about our daily lives. And we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the sacrifice your son died for us on the cross, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's the end. But real quick, I just got a couple last things. Wednesday services have started back up. Come on out. Starts at 6:30, I believe. We got Wednesday services. Also, if you would like to donate anything or help out, I make meals for the college and the high school students. If you'd like to donate to help out with that, or if you'd like to cook a meal, let me know. It would be lovely. And also, we're going to be doing some more stuff. Like I said, I've made a conscious decision to do more good works this year, whether it's here, out in the community, whatever. So anything that will be organized, we will let y'all know. And hopefully we'll see you out there. But that's all we got. God bless. You have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.